live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. I'm Jim Rome. We need an expert to help navigate the home loan process. Rocket can. All right, we are into our third and final hour, so we are open until 40 past when I have CBS senior NFL reporter Jonathan Jones. It's been a wild offseason already. He'll help us break it down. Where do you want to go with it? Anywhere you want, man. Don't follow me around. Why do I have to do all the heavy lifting? I mean, I will. I can. I'm happy to do it. But I'm trying to invite you to be a part of the process. So either you can react to what I'm saying, or if you want to go somewhere different with it, go right ahead. What I'm saying to you is, it's your talk show. You take it over. You have your phone number. You know to find me on social media at Jim Rome. And you can also email us directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I've already put a number of things out there. And I mentioned at the very top that it was going to be a good day. And I say that for two reasons. One, I knew I had good content, so that means it's going to be a good day. Number two, there was a sighting, a all-important sighting. Now, I'm not even sure, for instance, that we're ever going to fully understand exactly what happened to the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I understand. I use this line all the time, and it's true. When it goes fast. But in terms of what happened to the Eagles, I'm not sure we'll ever fully get the story on that. Just over 3 years ago, the Eagles beat Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the Patriots to win a Super Bowl. Not only did they finally win a Super Bowl, they had a genius for a head coach, and they were so good that their MVP-caliber quarterback went down, and his backup still beat the greatest head coach and the greatest quarterback in NFL history in the Super Bowl. That's how amazing that situation was. And in the aftermath, Philly was greasing light poles, eating horse crap, and partying like never before. That was only 3 years ago. 3 years later, that same genius head coach is unemployed. That starting quarterback is going to Indianapolis, and the backup is on a second team since that Super Bowl. How the hell did all of that fall apart so fast? And it's not just that things have fallen apart and that guys are now in different places. There's also been a really aggressive attempt at burying various people along the way. You know, it's not enough just to say, well, it happens, it didn't work out. Now they're looking to bury bodies. And there have been a lot of reports, for instance, about Carson Wentz's relationship and how it was between he and Doug Peterson, and the fact that they went not only days or weeks, but even months without talking to one another. There have been suggestions that Wentz did not like hard coaching, hints and insinuations that Wentz was actually a bad teammate. That's been thrown around quite a bit lately. So I don't know. I'm not going to say he was or wasn't. I wasn't there. But somebody who was Malcolm Jenkins. And he went on Chris Long's podcast, and Jenkins shot that down and said, that's just not true about Wentz.
He's not a locker room cancer. We play with him, and yeah, that's not it.
All right, so he just said it point blank. He is not a locker room cancer. We played with him, and that's not it. All right, so I respect Jenkins, and I respect his opinion, and what he says carries a lot of weight. Again, I'm not there. I don't know what's true, and I don't know what's not true. But it sure seems like there are some people who are looking to make sure that they get their side of the story about Carson Wentz out in the open. It feels like some folks really want the world to know that the reason everything went south in Philly is because Carson Wentz went Carson Wentz, and that he was the one to blame. I don't know. I'm not there. There are some people defending him, yet there's a lot of this information that's out there. So how do you go about making sense of this? How do you go about figuring it out? How do you go about separating fact from fiction? Where do you even start? I'll tell you where you start. You begin with somebody on the inside, somebody who was there. You begin with a man who was on the Eagles coaching staff last year. You start with somebody who was a great, 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 great for the Eagles. You know who I'm talking about, right? Jason Avant.
Jason Avant.
Jason freaking Avant.
Jason Avant.
The legend, the icon, the great, great. And can I tell you, it's a great, great day when there's a Jason Avant sighting. And there has been, because Jason Avant spoke with John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia. He's got thoughts. He breaks down what he thought happened with Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts, and everything else. But before we get to what he said, let me reset what makes Jason Avant such a legend in the first place. I could tell you, but not nearly as well as my dude here can sing it to you.
Jason Avant, he is the man. Jason Avant has got great hands. Jason Avant says, I want to catch a lot of balls, yeah. Jason Avant is a great, 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 great receiver for the Eagles. He's Jason Avant, he's a fine man. I like him a lot. Oh, oh, Jason Avant. He catches everything that gets thrown in his general direction. He's a tremendous athlete. Yeah, yeah, Jason Avant.
I'm telling you, man. There you go. Jason Avant. Jason Avant could step on the field right now and wreck you for a dozen catches and 150 yards. How do I know that? Because he's Jason Avant. He is the man. And he has takes. He flies up in the air and catches the ball. He's an eagle. He's Jason Avant. He is the man. And he's got takes. Takes for years. And most of all, takes, Ritt. Takes on what happened to Carson Wentz. Here is Jason Avant.
I thought that they handled it the best way they could. It's hard. Like, that situation is hard. It's like everyone, you know, can tell you what you can do in that moment. We see it, you know, from a 1,000-foot view, or we see it, you know, after the fact, and we can come up with all type of scenarios. But if you or I were in a scenario and there's this young hotshot, you know, analyst or whoever else is coming in, and they're giving them your reps, and you starting to see the writing on the wall that you may not be here, and they drafted this person to replace you, those are things that you deal with, and you have to learn how to channel that. I thought that Carson handled it the best way that he could. He never threw a teammate under the bus, and he's a good teammate. There's a narrative that Carson isn't a good teammate. Carson is a very good teammate.
There you go. Now, that's got my attention. You know why? Because Jason Avant said it. Because Jason Avant, he is the man. Jason Avant, he's got great hands. I like him a lot. And he's got great takes. He catches everything that gets thrown in his general direction. Okay, now why this is so important is because, well, Jason Avant. But he's saying that Carson Wentz is not selfish. He's saying that Carson Wentz is a good person. And if Jason Avant says it, that's good enough for me. I'm going to take that to the bank. Now you've got Malcolm Jenkins saying it. You've got Jenkins saying he's not a locker room cancer. I know it's kind of hard to follow what I'm saying, right? Because Jason Avant. Jason Avant is so good at what he does. And he's a very good person. Now, again, I'm getting off track even myself. Jason Avant said Wentz is a good person. And that's all I need to know. So I'm good on that front. I'm going to strike that from my list of complaints about Carson Wentz. After all, he is Jason Avant. He is a fine man. I like him a lot. Oh, Jason Avant. However, because he is Jason Avant, he's not going to sugarcoat it. And just because he says that Wentz is a good dude does not mean that he thinks that Wentz had a good year. Jason Avant knows that Wentz did not have a good year because Jason Avant knows everything.
He's a very good person, so you wish him the best. Did he play the best? No, he hadn't played well this year. He played historically bad, and guys have years like that. Can he rebound and overcome it? He can, but, you know, he handled it the best way that he could, and I thought that Jalen did as well.
All right, so there you go. There are so many different explanations as to what happened to Carson Wentz last year. Was it the offensive line? Was it a lack of weapons around him? Was it something else? I'll tell you what I do know. I do know that Wentz did not have somebody like Jason Avant running routes. You see, a ball gets thrown to Jason Avant, he catches it. That's what he does. He's a tremendous athlete. He's a wonderful person. He's a wonderful man. However, he was not just talking about Carson Wentz. He also had thoughts on Jalen Hurts. Jason Avant has a lot of respect for Jalen Hurts.
The thing that I loved about Jalen doing this process is that Jalen never has a backup mentality. And some guys can be offended by that. You never know, because if the backup thinks that he's better than you, you know, that's okay too. You know, you just have to have strong enough skin to be able to deal in that moment as a coach, as an organization, and as the starter. You have to be able to deal with it. And that's the one thing that I'll say about Jalen is that Jalen has always thought that he was the best quarterback in the room. And he has never said that. He's never come out and said that. But his disposition says that. And if that made Carson uncomfortable, no one knows.
Yeah, that's really high praise from Jason Avant. Jason Avant saying that Hurts, quote, never has a backup mentality is huge, coming from Jason Avant. You know, you can see it too. It's not that Hurts was walking around shouting out, hey, I'm the guy, I'm the best quarterback on this team, I should be the one starting. But it's the way he carries himself that lets you know that he's not content just to sit back and hold a clipboard. Jalen Hurts is not a guy to show up and just sit back and kind of hope things happen. He's a guy who believes in himself and believes what he can bring to a team. Now, does that mean he's going to be the starting quarterback going forward? Too early to say. Let's not forget, Doug Peterson did go out of his way to make sure that Nate Sudd got reps on senior night. I mean, the final home game. So that team could get a better draft pick. So if there's a quarterback on the board when Philadelphia is picking, you have to take a good long look. In fact, better than taking a good long look, don't overthink this. Just call up Jason Avant and let him tell you what you should do. Because Jason Avant, he is the man. Let the record reflect. Jason Avant is my favorite human being that I've never spoken to in my entire life. And frankly, I never will. I used to hope that I would, but now I know I won't. And the reason I know I won't is because I know that I am not worthy. Because he is Jason Avant, and the rest of us are not. He's a great, great human being for life. Got a lot of mileage out of that song, right? Special shout out to the Athletic Sports Band. Most notably, Matt Farley. Matt had contacted the show a long time ago. He had heard about all the pub that we were giving him. So he released a new song. Unfortunately, that song dropped during one of my basement runs, and it got lost in the shuffle. Believe it or not, apparently, there is a song. The Jim Rome is a Great Sports Talk Guy song.
Across the nation, around the world, Jim Rome is a good man. Oh yeah, Jim Rome, he says roam through the sports world with me. And all the people say, okay. Jim Rome has got what it takes. Jim Rome's got good sports takes. Jim Rome never makes mistakes. No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. Sounds a little familiar. Kind of familiar. Good looking out, Matt. You know why the Jason Avant song is so much better than the Jim Rome song? Because Jason Avant's a much better human being. Matt had a lot more to work with Jason Avant than he did Jim Rome, but I'll take what I can get. I like him a lot. Good luck getting that amazing song out of your head, but why would you want to? He catches every ball thrown in his general direction. Man, that takes me back. Such good times, such good memories. But don't get so caught up in the genius of that song that you miss the genius of his takes and the way he broke down what happened in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. Man, what a good day. I love it. 1-800-636-8686. Jason Avant, man, I can't even tell you how hyped I was to see that interview that he did. And that I had a reason to reset him and that incredible song. And what happened in Philadelphia? 3 years removed from one of the most amazing things that ever happened in that town, and the whole thing has been blown up. Coach is gone. Quarterback is gone. Man, if they were smart, they'd make sure they don't let Jason Avant get away. Still ahead. Maybe you've seen that report. Adam Schefter has a tweet. A report that Russell Wilson stormed out of an offensive meeting this season because they were not interested in his ideas. Well, if his ideas are not of any interest to that team. You can see where maybe he wouldn't want to be with that team. Then again, where might he go? Where are the places where he might be interested in playing if he's got that no trade? I don't know. We can get into this whole thing. I think if I'm Seattle, I'd be real concerned about that. And again, I'm going to say the same thing about him and them that I said about Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. Why the hell would you not listen to these guys? You've got bona fide first ballot Hall of Famers. Why would you not listen to their input? Why would you not want to know what they have to say?
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle. Pull your heads out of your asses. You've got the best quarterback you've ever had and ever will have. You imagine this guy leaving a meeting thinking they don't give a damn what I have to say? I have input and they don't care? Hey, quarterback, we'll let you know what the game plan is. Don't speak unless spoken to. And again, I'm not there. But if that report is true and this guy is storming out of offensive meetings because his input is not valued, you couldn't be handling that any worse than you are, Peter. I can see where that guy would be bent. All right, when we come back, one last open segment before the last segment. And in that last segment, we're already booked up. My guy Jonathan Jones is coming in, so you should take advantage of next segment. What do you want to hit on? Quick reminder, if you're looking for something to do later on today, in your commute, in the gym, on your walk around the block, check out episode 164 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Adrian Gonzalez. That's coming up. When we come back, a phone call or two and more. Also, a story of an NFL player who was unhappy about something a journal wrote about him and threatened him with exposing pictures of the writer in a strip club.
Uh-oh.
Like, that's a real thing. It's come to that. That's a crazy story. That's coming up next.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
It is. Why are you playing it? That is one of the finest bands ever, Rise Against. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they are focused on you, ready to offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. So what you want to do is call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Next segment, Jonathan Jones joins me. We're going to talk Ben Roethlisberger, J.J. Watt, Russell Wilson, and more. That's coming up next segment. All right, so if you do this job long enough, and believe me, I have, and I love it, still love it, plan on doing it for a long time to come. But if you do it long enough, you start to see the same kinds of stories pop up over and over and over again. And not just the same story, but similar stories with similar themes, and they play out the same way. You know, it gets a little tired. But every so often, you come across something that you have never seen before. Today would be one of those days, because not only have I never seen a story quite like this, I'm not sure I could have even imagined a story quite like this. I'm talking about Ravens linebacker Matthew Judon. Now, if you've heard him on the show, you know he's a really good interview. Really good interview and a fun guy to talk to and a fun guy to learn from. I'm a fan. I really like him a lot, and I enjoy having him on the program. But my man has had himself an interesting 24 hours or so. Jameson Hensley of ESPN wrote a piece on Tuesday about what the Ravens might do when it comes to Judon and Yannick Ngakoue. They're Baltimore's most significant free agents. In the piece, Hensley wrote, quote, "According to a source, the Ravens tried to strike a long-term deal with Judon this summer by offering him what Za'Darius Smith received in Green Bay, an average of $16.5 million. But he declined. Judon has disputed this report," end quote. Well, disputing the report is one way to look at it, but it looks as if he is doing more than just disputing the report. Because yesterday he tweeted, Quote, where Jameson Hensley lying butt at? I got time today. Bro, you have to stop lying. I know you want clicks and likes and want to be the people's camp, but stop lying. That weak. End of tweet. It's a strong tweet, all right, from a player who obviously took great offense to the report. Hensley professionally responded by saying, quote, hi, Matthew. I was told the Ravens offered you a deal similar to Zadarius's earlier this season, and it was declined. If you have a comment, I would certainly add that to the piece. I've always been fair with you. Thanks, and welcome back to Twitter. End of quote. All right, so let me jump in right here. I don't have a horse in this race. Judon is saying that what Hensley reported did not happen. Hensley is saying he reported what he was told, which is actually part of the sentence, which begins with according to a source. Judon responded, quote, this isn't true. Who told you this? If you can't tell me that we're all going to have to think that you're pulling this stuff out of nowhere. Hensley then responded with, quote, I will definitely add your response to the piece. If you ever have an issue with any of my reporting, I would be happy to listen and explain. I have always aimed to cover you in a respectful manner in your 5 years in Baltimore. Hope you have a great offseason. End quote. All right, now this is the kind of thing that happens all the time. A source tells a reporter something, the reporter then reports it. Sometimes what the source says is 100% accurate. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the source has his or her own agenda. This is all part of the business. But there's a big difference between Hensley reporting something that a source told him and Hensley flat out lying. I think there are certainly athletes that think that when a reporter says, a source told me, that they're literally making it up. Because a reporter can always say, I'm not giving up my sources. So how do we know what's true and what's not true? That seems to be what Judon is suggesting. Like, who told you that? Who told you that? Well, the reporter's not going to tell him who told him that. Certainly not going to tell him publicly, and not at all. So, while I appreciate that Judon is frustrated by a report about him turning down something that he may have never been offered, Hensley's not going to reveal the source. And certainly not on Twitter. But then it went to another level when Judon reportedly took to Instagram with the following post, quote, I know y'all don't know because I just found out this year, but you have about a month to sign a long-term deal after being franchise tagged. If a deal doesn't get done in that time, ain't no deal or no talking between the two parties. At Jameson Hensley. So, I'm waiting on your ESPN source apology or I'm leaking these photos I got with you in a strip club. Uh-oh. You talk about a holy crap moment. You talk about something escalating quickly from a Twitter scrap over contract offers to suddenly escalating to threats of blackmail and strip club pics. I mean, dang, there are online beefs. And then there's online terrorism and blackmail and strip club intrigue.
Strip club.
I've never seen anything like that. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I'll tell you this. I don't want to get into the weeds on the timing of contract offers or the vagaries of the CBA. I'm not even sure I want to get into the weeds of blackmail strip club photos either. I'm just kind of shocked that we got to this point. Like, oh, your sources tell you I turned down that offer. Really? Because that's a lie. But my sources say that your ass was in a strip club, and that's true.
You're a liar.
And is that really happening? Is it really turning into this? Like, I like Judon. I really like him. I always have. He's a really good player in a really good interview. I just was not expecting him to break out the nuclear option of leaking strip club photos. Who makes that kind of threat? And who makes that kind of threat in a social media dispute over a contract that either was or was not offered? Listen, I understand that nobody wants to have a report out there that's not true, but in this business, That's part of the business, unfortunately. But my guy Judon ain't having it. Apparently, he's got strip club pics, and he's not afraid to weaponize them. And he better get that apology and that retraction, or your strip club ass will be hitting every single corner of the Twitterverse. I don't know, man. Like, if that's not true, I understand why you're upset, Matthew. But honestly, dude, there's a... The better way to handle that would have been to just deny the report. To just go on record and say it's inaccurate and keep moving. And then the story just goes away. Instead, it's come off the rails altogether and has exploded into blackmail and allegations of strip club attendance. I'm not sure how this ends, but I'm curious to see how this ends. Does it end with an apology from Judon, or does it escalate into the next thing up from blackmail? Whatever it is, I'll keep you posted.
Something wrong with going to the strip club. It ain't no sin to go to the strip club.
See, that's the thing. Pac's actually right about that, right? I mean, what's so terrible about this? And honestly, where's the threat? Once the image is already out there, like you've already put it out there. This guy was in a strip club. I mean, how damaging could the pics be unless the pics are really damaging? Hey, can you imagine if a player responded that way to every report that was not accurate? I mean, there'd just be strip club terrorism everywhere. Strip club blackmail everywhere. That was unusual. Wonder how that ends. 1-800-636-8686. I guarantee nobody's ever hit my guy Jonathan Jones with that. Oh, really, JJ? You really? Is that what you're going to go with? Yeah, well, I got this, and I'm not afraid to go to it. Judon. And can I tell you something else? I mean, like, how offensive was the report? It was only that he turned down an offer. It wasn't like he hit him with something like a 2x4 between his eyes over some crazy character issue. Anyway, when we come back, I want to talk about the NFL offseason. I want to talk J.J. Watt, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, and more. Jonathan Jones joins me on the other side of this break. First up. Welcome back. One last segment. What an awesome Thursday. Blasting away, having a great time, covering a lot of different ground. I am live. I'm in Southern California. Nice to be here. As promised, we're joined right now by a senior NFL reporter and an insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. Part of Tops on CBS Sports Network. Previously worked for the Charlotte Observer and was a national NFL writer at Sports Illustrated. Good friend of the program, Jonathan Jones. Jonathan, good to have you back. What's up? How are you?
Happy to be back, man. How are you?
Good, good, dude. Great to have you. Thanks so much. Let me start first by asking you about the Steelers. President Art Rooney II issued a statement, Jonathan, yesterday that he and Ben Roethlisberger met. They had a productive meeting. He wants to come back. The statement also mentioned that the next step is to work out his contractual situation. So what do you take away from that notion that they have to work out that contract? What's that mean for Ben as it relates to the Steelers and their cap?
Yeah, I mean, they've known that they were going to have to work it out because him going into the 2021 season, if they wanted him back at a cap hit of $41.25 million, that was untenable. That was never going to happen. And so, you know, this has never really been about, hey, let's figure out the contract. Very clearly, over the last couple of weeks, the Steelers had to figure out if they wanted Ben Roethlisberger back or not, because if they did want him back and they knew that, then yeah, of course they have to figure out the contract situation. And, you know, we've understood that the cap, whether the floor was at 175, obviously just got bumped up to 180, and it may squeak up to 182 or 183, but the Steelers knew that they had to get that $41.25 million cap hit down. And so they should have been working at that for a while. Certainly they have been working at that for a while. But I think the Steelers, from the very top of the organization down, had to figure out, whether they wanted Ben Roethlisberger back or not, and it took them several weeks to figure that out.
I was going to say, that to me is the key point, right? So where do you come out on that? Do they want him back? I mean, obviously on some level. Let me put it to you another way. If he did not want to come back, do you get the sense that maybe they would not have been that upset about that?
To that last question, I don't think that they would have been too banged up about it. But then what do the Steelers do? Because you have to have a number of contingencies in place at that point. You're going to have to figure out, one, how you get that cap hit down. Do you want to be competitive in 2021, or do you want to have a hard reset? I don't necessarily mean tank. I don't know if that is in the DNA of the Pittsburgh Steelers or not. But do you send a third-round pick to the New York Jets to get Sam Darnold and try to go 10-6 again and keep that no losing season under Mike Tomlin streak alive? Or do you say, all right, guys, we're just going to have to get caught up with the cap this year? So I think that that would have triggered a whole new set of contingencies for the Steelers that surely they were kicking around until Art Rooney and everyone else in the organization said, you know what, let's bring Ben back one more time.
Jonathan Jones is joining us. All right, Jonathan, what about Juju Smith-Schuster? Do you expect him to be in Pittsburgh next season?
You know, it goes back to the cap, and it's just really hard to figure out how he's going to fit under their cap. And, you know, you look elsewhere, and they obviously just lost Pouncey at center. It's hard to imagine they want to lose Villanueva at left tackle, but he's an unrestricted free agent, and they're going to have to pay him, especially if they're bringing Ben Roethlisberger back. You can't lose your two best offensive linemen up there in what is most likely going to be Big Ben's final season. And so once you start seeing where the money's going, and yeah, you're going to have to extend TJ Watt at some point, no time in the next couple of weeks, but you're probably going to have to extend Minkah Fitzpatrick as well. I don't know where you're going to get the $14, $15, $16 million for Juju Smith-Schuster. And then finally, the fact is that once he became that number one wide receiver, he wasn't nearly as productive as everyone wanted him to be. And so for all of those reasons, I think that he's out of Pittsburgh.
Jonathan Jones joining us, which brings me to J.J. Watt. And you just laid it out a couple of times about the challenges involving the cap. What about J.J. Watt then? Like, what's the market for him? And what kind of a contract realistically do you think he can expect to receive?
Well, that's a great question. And I think J.J. Watt right now, and I wrote this last week for CBSSports.com, I think that the longer he waits, I think the more it's going to seem to be about money, that he wants to, you know, he cares about appearances. He doesn't want to seem like some washed up has been, and he's not. He played very well last season. He's not the three-time defensive player of the year that he was in the middle part of last decade, but he's still a quality pass rusher in the NFL. What's his contract going to be? I have a really hard time thinking that a team is actually going to pay him $16 million per year in straight-up money. Could it get to 16 if he, you know, becomes an all-pro and gets, you know, 15 sacks in 2021? Sure. But if that was going to be the case, then why didn't a team just trade for him at his cap hit of $17.5 million in 2021, send a sixth-round pick to the Texans? Hard for me to believe that number is going to get up there. I do think that the real contract, if you forget about incentives, is really going to look closer to a Calais Campbell deal with the Baltimore Ravens. That was 2 years, $25 million. So we're talking about $12.5 million per season. I think that that's where it's going to be for Watt, rather than getting into the mid to high teens.
Jonathan Jones is joining us. Jonathan, one more thought about J.J. Watt. Like, to your point, he's not what he used to be, but he's still a really effective player, and he's been such a force in that league for so long. He seems to be a really well-respected teammate, but is there any concern at all about how he might fit into a new locker room?
There absolutely is. And, you know, listen, this is a guy, Walter Payton, Man of the Year, fantastic humanitarian. We know about all of his efforts down in Houston over the years and certainly during the hurricane and the flooding there. But, you know, I talked with several sources around the league about him the last couple of weeks, and there is, I don't want to say a concern. People aren't staying up at night wondering this, but they do have a question about, hey, you dominated that locker room, and then when Deshaun Watson became the franchise quarterback, you obviously dominated the defense. Everyone looked to you. How are you going to fit in a Green Bay where this is Aaron Rodgers' team? Are you going to try to bring a mentality to the Buffalo Bills where, you know, they were a pass rush on Patrick Mahomes away from making it to the Super Bowl. You look at the Titans, and like, is what worked for you in Houston and has worked for you the last decade, is that going to work for you with slightly diminished skills now in your plus 30 season? So that's a question that teams have, and obviously he's going to have to answer that as he looks for a suitor.
Jonathan Jones is joining us. I appreciate your thoughts there. Jonathan, what about, and there's more and more information trickling out. We see an Athletic report about Russell Wilson. He stormed out of an offensive meeting because he felt like his offensive input was not valued. Like, what do you make of his situation there, and what's his end game? What's he hoping to change?
I don't really know what his ultimate end game is. If he wants more say in the offense, well, you know, he's had a pretty great deal of say as it relates to NFL quarterbacks. It's hard for me, if you look at the last couple years in the league, to find a team that has catered more to the quarterback than Seattle has with Russell Wilson. Yes, you can say Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. I think that's a bit of a different situation. I think you can look at Pittsburgh and how they've tailored that offense around Ben Roethlisberger and his deficiencies and what he has become. But really, outside of that, you look at the defensive additions that they've made. You look at their free agent acquisitions. You wanted some tight ends? They went out and got some tight ends. Want a defensive playmaker? Hey, we'll send two first-round picks. We'll overpay for a safety. You know, we'll get you the weapons on offense. We'll try to improve the offensive line. And very clearly, this offensive line, while not breaking any records this past season, was better this past season than it really has been in the last few years. And listen, you want them to cook? Okay, go out there and throw the ball around a whole bunch. But then teams are going to adjust. And how do you readjust off of that? And then the Seahawks didn't. And frankly, Jim, I've talked about this before, but everyone says he's never had an MVP vote. Well, first of all, in what year were you going to vote for Russell Wilson over Cam Newton in 2015 or Tom Brady in 2017? The list can go on and on. There's only one vote. But every single year, Russell hits a lull for 2-3. This season, it was really like four games where he took himself out of the MVP voting. This is not an aberration. This happens every year. That's not to say he's not a top five quarterback in the NFL. He certainly is, in my opinion. But you go to the playoffs 8 and 9 years, you know, you just can't beat a Rams team with John Wolford and a quarterback who doesn't have an opposable thumb, despite getting 14 possessions to win that playoff game. You know, maybe in all of this stuff, you can also hold yourself a little bit accountable. And then finally, you look at the teams that he's thinking about joining. I mean, the Raiders haven't had a top half of a defense in the league in the last, what, 17 years or so. You look at Mike McCarthy in Dallas, and Aaron Rodgers says, yeah, okay, go ahead and join him down there. The Saints make sense to me because of the offense, but they can't figure out their cap. So I don't really know what Russell wants, and I would love to know exactly what he wants.
Jonathan Jones, my guest. Listen, I wish I had more time for this topic, but I want to get it in here. You've got a piece up on the Women's Careers in Football Forum, which took place this week. This was your first time sitting in on that forum. What did you take away from that experience?
I thought it was a fantastic sort of forum that the NFL has given to 40 very deserving participants, female participants, and 30 of those 40 were women of color as they're trying to find their foothold in the NFL, be it coaching or scouting or in the front office. I thought there was an amazing amount of advice given from head coaches, general managers, current coaches, assistant coaches who are women in the NFL, and really advice that transcends football. It talks about passion for your industry and your craft, and it talks about, you know, how you need to, hey, you haven't played football? Okay, call up the local high school and try to watch film with the coaches there, or get in on these clinics as we are in this Zoom world. I thought there was some really incredible advice, and you can find that entire panel online at NFL.com, but also, of course, I wrote about it, as you mentioned, Jim, on CBSSports.com.
All right, so really quickly, Jonathan, as a follow, the number of assistant coaches went from 2 to 8. Does that increase mean that it's only a matter of time before women are serving as coordinators, even head coaches?
I think, and Brian Flores mentioned this, we're certainly closer to it now than we were 2 to 5 years ago. You know, 5 years ago, there were zero women coaches in the NFL. I do think that we're still a really far way away from that. There still has to be an intentionality by those who are hiring. There's still going to have to be acceptance across locker rooms. And so I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, but I think that in reality, we're still several years away from really getting to that point. But I am certainly heartened and encouraged by where we are, certainly compared to just as recently as 2 or 3 years ago.
Right. He is a senior NFL reporter. He is an insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. You can watch him as part of Tops on CBS Sports Network. He is Jonathan Jones. Jonathan, appreciate you as always. Thanks so much. Great job.
Thank you.
Jonathan Jones, very, very good reporter, as always, with really good information. All right, so I thought a couple of takeaways there. Ben Roethlisberger, yeah, I mean, it's a matter of finding a way to get him in under the cap, but I agree with Jonathan. You know, if Ben were to say, you know what, I'm good. I think I'm going to call it a day, or I'm good. I don't want to come back. I mean, would the Steelers have been that unhappy about that? I'm going to say no. That would not have been a huge problem for them. They might not have this great viable alternative, but I don't think they would have been that unhappy about that. And I thought the point that he made about J.J. Watt was also very interesting. When you're J.J. Watt and you're used to being that guy and you're a former three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year, but now you're 32 and you're going to go someplace else, how will you fit in a new locker room? And then Russ. Where does that leave Russ? Are there better opportunities for Russ than Seattle? Yeah, New Orleans, perhaps. And now we're done. Way to go, Ritt. You somehow got that plane down again. My thanks to all involved. Had a good day on this Thursday. We had Porter Moser, Josh Heupel, Jonathan Jones. The clones did a nice job. I want to redirect you to episode 164 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Adrian Gonzalez. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. We're out.